where? Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hope we've all come to worship. I suppose our hearts are ready. If not, now would be a good time to get them ready. Right? Yes. Why don't we stand together if you feel so inclined, and just want to open in prayer, inviting the Lord. You know, I believe with all my heart that he's here, but I also believe that he works very well by invitation. So I believe that we can invite him, and it blesses him, it blesses his heart that we would desire him, that we would, I guess, allow him, that we would want him here. And I think it does something in us, and it does something in him. And so I just want to have our hearts ready this morning. And I know life happens and life goes on, but here we are this morning together. We're combining our hearts to worship. Hi. Yes, babies are good for distraction, but especially cute ones. But good morning, and let's just open our hearts together. If you just agree with me in prayer, you can pray, you know, on your own, of course, and agree, and let's just welcome the Lord. Father, we are blessed here to be in your presence. We invite you here, Lord. We are your children. This is your house, Lord, and we honor you this morning with every fiber in our being. We lay aside everything that is of distraction and not of you, and we just step in by faith right now. We step in to your presence. We step into your goodness. We step into your joy. We step in to your life. We step into your heart, and we're surrounded by you. We're surrounded by all that you are, Father. We're surrounded by all that you prepared for us. And we just are thankful this morning, God, to have an opportunity to worship together as a body, to worship as your children, uniting and agreeing with the plans that you have over us, with the desires that you have placed within us. And we just want to unlock that this morning, God. We just want to take this time, Father, to acknowledge you, to honor you, Lord, that you're not just on our lips, you're not just on our tongue, but you're in our hearts, and you're flowing out of us. For that, Daddy, we thank you, God. In Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, in your name, we say amen. So let's worship, have a good time, and figure out what the Lord has planned.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness. His love is mighty, so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shall whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nation? With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, God. That you would cross. You would lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. What other reason do we gather? Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go. World, come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. as we take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light.
Last piece of music is so appropriate for our lives, that the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. We have to be willing to give up that burden, or he can't take it. We won't share it with him. He can't take it from us. We'll carry it on. Yesterday, I got a call yesterday morning from my daughter in Ellensburg that her daughter, who has problems with asthma and stuff, was in the, had to take her to the hospital because she wasn't breathing well. Wasn't breathing very well at all. So anyway, we went up there yesterday afternoon. Josh found us. We couldn't find a hospital. Josh found us and led us to the hospital. He was up there. So anyway, we got there and she looked pretty pitiful, all curled up trying to sleep. doctor came in and woke her up, got her to sit up, listened to her lungs and everything. And then the discussion became, we can't take care of her here. We're not able to do the right work. We're not set up for children. So, do we send her to Yakima, to a pulmonologist, where they can do that kind of work, or send her to Seattle? So that was the discussion. So finally, I was willing to say, I think we need to pray about this. So we did. And anyway, Barbara can tell you the details of it much better than I can, so I will let her finish this up. Thank you.
When we got the call yesterday morning, I knew Rose wouldn't call unless she needed her dad. And her daughter is 13. And they said she had asthma, which we know, and they said pneumonia. And that was pretty much all they said. We got there, and when we walked in the room, this emaciated little girl is laying in a fetal position on 8 liters of oxygen, has been for 2 days, receiving prednisone and 3 antibiotics. She's laboring intensely for her life, for her breath. It was extremely emotional, as you can imagine. Her 8-year-old brother is crying. Her dad is trying not to cry. Her mama is crying. And everyone's hovered over this bed. And the pediatrician finally comes in and says, you know, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. There's no medical reason why after this many days, this many hours, this many prednisone treatments, this many breathing treatments, this many antibiotics, that she is still in this condition. We can't do anything. And of course, the first thing was the nurse in me said, it's time to stop some of this excessive stuff and let's move on to something else. Obviously, we need a specialist here. And then I thought, the specialist we need is the Lord. That's who we need. And they asked us to walk out of the room because they were doing more tests. She kept failing every test they tried, all of her lab work, every breathing treatment she wasn't successful with. But we knew there had to be a change. The Lord wasn't going to allow this. The Lord was not going to allow this. And I'm telling you, the Lord is not allowing things in your life that you're still hanging on to. He doesn't want us to think that it's ours. These are burdens, and we're not turning to the Lord. So we're out in the hall. Israel, the dad, said to me, what would you do? What do you think? And then Ken said, we're going to pray. And when we walked in the room, Maya woke up. Ken started praying. Pretty soon, Maya moves the oxygen from her mouth and her face. She starts to laugh. She's teasing her dad. She's hugging her mom. And her oxygen sats dropped. So they put the oxygen back on her. And they said she needs a breathing treatment. And we just kept praying. And we just kept praying. And we just kept praying. And Rose was raised in a home, and she knows to turn to the Lord. She is weeping because she knows her life has not been walking with the Lord. And that's why she called her dad. We stayed several hours more waiting to see what they wanted to do because the doctor walked in and he said, this is beyond us. We need to send her to Children's. And if they won't accept her, we're sending her to Yakima. So we decided that we couldn't be of any help, that the family needed to be together. So we left, not knowing what was going to happen. And we came home. But there was a great deal of peace coming home, because we knew we had turned it all over to the Lord, and no one else would do anything but the Lord. And when we got home, Rose called. She said she's off oxygen. She's breathing on her own. She's laughing. She's teasing with her dad. She's beating on her brother. The Lord healed Maya. Just as the Lord heals each one of us, whether it's a simple thing or a humongous thing, the Lord heals. The Lord knows. He knows our burdens and He knows our weaknesses. So turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You chose Maya to give testimony, not only to Ken and I and her mom and dad, but to this church, Lord. A 13 fetal stated little girl is now healed. And so, Lord, we know that You have much for her to do in Your kingdom. Much to do, as He does for all of us. So we give You glory, Lord. We give You praise, and we thank You for the babies that You have put in our responsibility, that we love and we care, that we have our arms and hands opened, because they're Yours, Lord. They are all Yours. Thank You, Jesus.
Just a simple truth I think we need to declare this morning, and that it's our God's not dead, He is alive. Our God's not dead, He is alive. Our God's not dead, He is alive. God's not dead, He is alive. Our 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 God's not dead, He is alive, alive, alive. God's not dead, He is alive. Our God's not dead, He is alive. Our God's not dead, He is alive. Our God's not dead, He is alive. Proving it in our lives. You're proving it in our lives that You're not dead, but You're sickness for your healing, God. It's how we know that you're not dead, but you're alive. You're alive. Oh. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go. Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Oh, his burden is so light. Caverns, oh my soul, pour in me to overflow. Spirit, Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns. So my soul pour in me to overflow. Spirit.
fresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep and blow through the caverns, oh my soul, pour in me to overflow.
I moved back to Yakima from South Dakota, and I have an 8-month-old baby girl, Sophia. And we've been through a lot in the past 5 months. Me and her dad, you know, we were off and on for about 4 years and stuff. We tried to make it work, you know. Plan to have me and her here. I felt, you know, God's wisdom, and I've been praying about it before I moved here, and I believe God has good plans for her here. So I've, you know, just been praying, you know, and just seeing what God wants for her and I, and he's just been overflowing with goodness for us. I have a job now, and I have daycare, and most moms out there know it's really hard to find daycare, and I just want to thank God for his goodness and his overflowing in both of our lives, and I pray for overflowing goodness for each and one of you tonight.
Can't get enough. Oh, enter the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish, every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
I believe that the Lord wants to do something new today in each and every one of us. We were meeting at Josh and Michelle's house like 3 weeks ago or something like that. And we were just praying. Oh, were we praying? I don't know. We were talking, something like that. Praying, whatever. It's all the same. And we're a family here. And we all have issues. We all have successes. We all have something to say. And I believe it's in that spoken word that the Lord releases something out of each and every one of us. And I believe that when we speak it out, His power flows through us. So I'm going to have this mic here. I'm going to turn it on, okay, Jesse? So the mic is on. And if the Lord is tugging on your heart, whatever it is, maybe you've never spoken through the mic, maybe you've never said anything in front of anybody, you can come up here and keep your back to everybody. But there's some of you that the Lord wants to release something in you through your spoken word, whatever that may be. Whether it's, man, I'm struggling with this. Man, my finances are killing me. Man, I haven't had a touch from the Lord in who knows how long. Whatever it may be, the Lord wants to release His power through you today. And I encourage you, I employ you to just be courageous and grab that mic and say, God, I need you. I need you today. God, I need you. We love you, Jesus.
you, Josh. I went through some really bad health issues the last couple weeks, trying to figure out what it was, whether it was pushing myself too hard, whether it was women's wellness type things. Actually, thyroid can affect a lot of things in a person too. It affects every part of your body, and plus us women, we all know that time of month probably shouldn't approach us sometimes. We might not be best in spirit. However, once we hold on to God's graces, and we know that His powers are all powerful, and if we rely on Him in those times, we always know that we have a successor. And I just want to reassure everybody that He is my successor. He is the one that has brought me through, healed me, continues to walk with me, and each and every one of us. He was the one who has the hands for the physicians. He's the ones that has the heart and the power and the soul. And don't ever give up on Him, and He won't give up on you.
Maybe I'll turn my back. I feel a heavy heaviness in my heart today. But on the other side, I feel a goodness of God's presence. Not by coincidence that Stephen came up here and spoke those words. Those are words to challenge your heart today. I just want to say I lost a son dear to me. A son that my best friend. I called other night his phone number. I didn't get any answer. But I know he's in the hands of God. I have that insurance today that he's with the Savior of the world. If any of you had not lost any children, it's a tough road. We're going to grieve a lot, but God brings me through with his strength. If I didn't have God's strength, I don't think I could make it. But I bask for God's strength and his power in my life. I'd sit still some nights and my mind start to wonder. That's when I get a breakthrough in life. But if I'm busy, I don't think about it. But when I'm alone, let me tell you, I cry like a baby. I'm not ashamed to cry in front of nobody. Some men say they don't like to cry. They feel like they're nobody. But let me tell you, when God opened you up, he opened you up. My heart is heavy. But I know I'm going to see him again. I don't know when, where, how, but I will see him again. My son went to the world of down in Miami, Florida. They call the Sin City. But this tell you right here how God knows what he's doing. He was down there for 8 years in Miami, Florida. And God brought him back to the Northwest. He met the love of his life is a woman that's born again and set free and know Jesus Christ. That's how God knows his work. He put them together. My son got baptized again and started living new life. Now we don't limit him. We don't limit God from anything because he's everything. And I just want to say I love Jesus with all my heart today. And I will proclaim that to anybody in this world today. Somebody's lost and down and out, but I will reveal the love of Jesus to them. Because life is eternal today. And hell is eternity also. But I choose to be in heaven for eternity. And I hope some of y'all can agree with me on that today. I hear a few hands clapping, but this whole place should be rocking. Hear me? This whole place should be rocking because you serve a high God in this place today. I just want to thank you for that. I thank you for being obedient to God. Because he's going to make a way for each one of you. You don't want to miss that door. Nobody want to miss that door. Because your name is already written down in the book of life. Each one of you here, your name is already in that book. We just got to make the way. Amen. Thank you, Stephen, for being obedient to God. Thank you.
before the New Testament and the story of the prodigal, we have the wife of Hosea, and we have the children of Israel, who just like us were human, and they kept running in the opposite direction from which God wanted them to be. But God called us back every time, and he called them back every time. He extends his grace. And I'm a woman. I have two prodigals in my life that I'm dealing with right now. But I know that the scripture that says, my word will not return void to those who have heard it. So if you have prodigals in your life, continue to pray for them. And I'm seeing one come step by step, little steps. Sometimes they come running. Sometimes they take little steps. So just keep praying for them. And then those of us who have these prodigals, we need prayer too, to keep the faith and keep praying and to keep knowing that God's word will not return void to us. He did it for Hosea's wife. He did it for the children of Israel. He returned them to his grace every time, no matter how far they went, no matter how bad they did, no matter what they said. He called them back and restored them every time. And if there's anybody here who thinks that they're not ready yet to be restored because they haven't cleaned up, that's not your job. That's God's job. It's up to him to clean your heart. It's up to him to do what needs to be done, because he doesn't call us because we're qualified. He calls us and makes us qualified. He makes us who he wants us to be. Our job is to just let him, and to continue to pray for that if we don't know how, and to pray for those that are our prodigals.
So I'm up here because Stephen opened the mic and he said to be courageous and to share if you have a need. And I'm up here not to speak a word out, but to speak a word that God has given me over myself. And I'm speaking it out because I'm ready for that change and that healing to come. And one of the words that Stephen said was, we're all a family. And I've been having actually a lot of conversations with God and a lot of conversations with a couple of my friends about what a family is and what a family means. And sometimes we get in a place where we're just a part of the family doing our job, but we are forgetting that relationship aspect of the family. And I find that that's where I am right now with God's family. And I'm up here because I need relationships with God's family. I've lost that part of being a part of the church. I want to do life with people. And I need you guys. I need you guys to help me do life with you. I don't want to be left out or hold myself back. And I'm not just talking about going to a cell group. I'm talking about really investing in relationships with people. I need that. God, I need that. And I pray that you would help me to find that. And to invest myself, God. And to not be alone or hold myself back, God, but to pour myself out and to pour out everything that you're pouring into me, because you pour into me continually so much. So much, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Presumptuous, but if I'm feeling in my heart what I think I'm feeling is, there's probably, she's not the only one in that predicament, right? I mean, I'm in that same boat, if you will. I feel a desire and a need to connect with my family that is just as strong or stronger than my blood family. A need to connect in a way that causes our identity in Christ to be drawn out of our relationships. Ironically enough, the same meeting that Stephen talked about, that's what we talked about as a staff, was the importance of our relationships and the core of where do we hold each other in our heart and how does that look, and if we want to move forward together as a family, not just somebody who meets occasionally, but as a family, and intertwine our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, every part of us, to have a greater fulfillment in the bigger picture of God's plan, then we have to connect on a personal level. So I would believe that I'm sensing correctly that there's a handful of us that are in the same boat. And I think that we need to connect our hearts this morning. If you feel that way, connect our hearts and take your heart and open it up. And I'm going to say a prayer. You can agree, you can disagree, you can do whatever you want. But for those who are in a similar situation, let's lift our hearts before God this morning. And place our hearts open and vulnerable and say, okay, Lord, here I am. This is my prayer. Father, here we are. Daddy, here we are. We recognize a need, and we certainly recognize that you're the only one that can fulfill that need. That maybe we've tried. We've tried at times to take that need other places and have been unsuccessful. And so here we are, back at square one. And we recognize you, Abba Father, as the one who provides for our needs. And together as a body, we open our hearts up and agree to what it is that you want to do in interconnecting us and the way you've designed us to complement one another, to be together as one, not to be individually running around, but to be together as one in our hearts, in our very depth of our being.
Brother James, I do not like to cry. I always try to be hard as a rock because I hate crying, and I'm already crying. And I know that God... Josh sent us a text last night, and I was super irritated because he was asking us to step up. And I was like, no, I am not in a place where I want to do that. And I'm going to fight God as hard as I can, per the usual. And I've really felt like this morning, God has, I can't speak for men because obviously I'm not one, but I know for women, I know a lot of times I don't ask for help. I don't, even with Stephen sometimes, I won't ask for help. I don't like reaching out. I just will handle it myself. I've got it. You know, I don't need anyone else. And I really feel like there are women in this house who we don't like to ask our other sisters for help. We don't like to say even to God that I need you. And I have to say, there's such a need here today for women to be touched by the Lord and to just say, like Casey took a step of faith in front of all of us and laid it out and was vulnerable and said, I need help. I need, this is what I need from God. This is what I need for my sisters. And I just know, as a mom to another new baby, there's always things that I'm like, you know, going through and dealing with. And I just know that God has tried to speak to my heart and tried to touch me. And I'm like, nope, I have babies to take care of. I have things that I need to do. I can't be bothered with the Holy Spirit right now. I've got kids to raise, and God's saying, this is what life is about. Your kids are, you know, obviously a blessing, but if you miss the Holy Spirit, you've missed everything. And I just feel like if there are any women in here who need a touch from God for anything, anything at all, I want to sing that song again, Glenn, the one, I think it was two songs back. It was... happen. We love you and we'll never stop. That literally is probably one of my all-time favorite worship songs. And no matter where I'm at in my stubborn, you know, situation with the Lord, fighting against God, that song always breaks me down. And I just feel like we need to proclaim that today for ourselves. We just need to say, you know, God, here I am. I need you. And whatever you need from, and I mean, men, I suppose, if you feel like you need something, you're more than welcome to. But especially women, I feel today, if you need a touch from God, certainly step out in faith and believe that God's going to meet you there.
So I feel like I'm not the only one here with this that feels like sometimes, and I know Vicky already touched on this, like we can't come up because we're not qualified to, or we did this or we did that, just can't do it now. That's something like, I don't know what my deal is here lately. Instead of being excited that I'm moving next week, I'm thinking about every stupid thing I've ever done in my life. And I get myself in trouble when I think too much. And then I'll go and turn to the Lord, and I feel like, oh my gosh, I can't even, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, it's not okay. But that's not, it's not our job to brush ourselves off and make us new again. That's His job, and that is what He's called us to do. Sometimes that humility of saying,
I have a daughter that has rejected her siblings for probably about 20, 30 years. I haven't even been able to see her. And through a lot of prayer from a lot of you women here in the church, I got to see her last Saturday for the first time in about 11 years. I walked into McDonald's. She won't tell me where she's at due to a situation that happened in their lives, my daughter and granddaughter. But I walked into McDonald's and I didn't even know her. She's probably as thin as like Tanya. She used to be as heavy as I was. She is very critically ill. The doctors can't find out what's wrong with her. They've done the heart thing, and I just keep praying. But you know, persistence and prayer works wonders. And that's what I did. I just kept praying, and I kept insisting with my granddaughter, I need to see my daughter. I need to let her really know that I love her, and that her siblings love her too. And so, Sarah, these women are wonderful in this church. And they do reach out. They call you. They pray for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask. Because I know through my years, I've ask, and I've always received from this church. And I've been with it since 1990, this organization. And there's never been a family that has accumulated in this church that hasn't been willing to help. But through prayer, I got to see her.
Up and hug people. I wouldn't leave my house. I wouldn't go shopping. And now I'm going places. I'm loving life. I'm driving again. And it's all because of Jesus and you guys. If it wasn't for coming to this church where you people are just so wonderful. So thank you, Vicki, for introducing me to this lovely family. Thank you for bringing me back to God.
So, women aren't supposed to have anxiety. We're supposed to have it all together. We're supposed to lead the house, kind of like, everything flows smoothly. So when we have anxiety, it's really difficult to admit to it. And I just need prayer because I don't like this anxiety that I have. I trust God He has my voice. I trust God that He has my little girl. But I have nobody to give my anxiety to because I don't have that kind of knowledge that can take the anxiety away from me and blame Him. Is going to take it away, and the anxiety, the unknowing, the trust is all going to be there because I am a woman of God, and I want to declare that today, and I want to declare that my children are men of God, and their life and their children are going to be in God. And so I'm so encouraged by you, so encouraged by you to step up and thank you. So that's it. Okay, so anxiety is gonna be gone. I'm stomping on it.
I heard this genius woman. She once told me that we don't grow into independence. We grow into dependence. There's a lie that has permeated our church, that has permeated our culture, and that's that independence is the fruit of being strong. But really, we all know the kingdom's upside down. True strength is proven in the level of dependence we have on God. Think about this. God is three in one. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of those cannot depend on themselves in their own strength. They're all three working together. They themselves are a community. They themselves depend on each other. Just like we depend on God, we also depend on each other. So right now, this morning, God, over our lives, we just rebuke that lie that independence is perfection, that's good, God, because we crave dependence. We crave complete dependence on you. And God, we just ask for you to confirm in our hearts that we can trust this community here, that we can depend on each other, and that there is an openness, that God, you're breaking down the walls that have been built by the enemy between us. God, whether it be lies, whether it be hurts or offense, God, we just say, tear down the walls. Tear down the walls this morning, God. We just open ourselves up to dependence on each other, dependence on you, God, and we just release the glory that that brings into this house in Jesus' name.
Hello? Okay. Okay. I know I've been holding back a lot, and it's been a crazy year for me this year. I know that. And I always tell myself, like, you know, I know I'm a strong person and I try to do it myself. But there's just some things that you can't do it. And this year, let me tell you, I've been put to the test. And people at work, you know, that was like, oh, you seem so happy. But it just, if they just knew. You know, and I'm really good at hiding something. Just holding it in and holding it in. Trying to just fix it. Just do it myself. You know, but I've been doing a lot of praying. Even fasting. Just on my own. But let me tell you, this week, it's been a really good week. Showing himself to me again. And I haven't been able to really like enjoy my life. I just felt like I was dying inside. You know? Today I woke up and I was like, okay. And this life isn't easy. And I know I need God, I need him to just redo it all over again. It feels like I'm losing. Today's my 20-year anniversary, and I just feel like, okay, it's a new start. Me and my husband can start all over again. Things are gonna look up. And not when I feel like it's gonna look up, something happens, but I have these verses at church, at work, and Barb's given to me, and I have it posted all over my stuff, and every day I have to read it and remind myself, okay, God, it's a new day, it's a new day, I'm gonna do this, you know, you're gonna give me the strength, and I'm gonna get through it. And I just ask the Lord to just to redo my family, start all over again, and not look back, just basically give it all to him. I know I can't do it myself. Like Sarah said, it's hard. It's hard to reach out and let people know what's going on because I feel like it's my business. You know, I don't need to let it out like that. Just, you know, I don't need help. I got this, but I need help, and I don't got this. I really don't. Even though I hate to say it, but I can't do it alone. Regardless, if I walk around with a smile, or you know, the enemy really just caught me right off guard and basically rattled my house. I mean, I didn't know where God was sending me or what he was doing, but they say, you know, God don't put you through things that you know you can't handle. It's like, God, really? You really think I'm this strong? You really think I can get through this? And I was like, all right, let's do it then. Let's see what you got, you know, let's see what I'm going to learn, let's see what I'm going to get out of this. One thing I did learn, don't take things for granted. Don't think you got it all, that it's all good, because it's not, you know? Count your blessings and just love your family and your church family especially. Because those are the ones that are, you know, there for you. It's not easy. I just thank God for you guys and the support and everything.
Yes.
I'm ready to step forward, whether it's by myself or with my family. I know I got to do this. And it's going to be scary, but I know I got people behind me. Thanks, guys.
Just a minute, sister. I was looking through the spiritual eyes of God just for a moment there. When you stepped up to this microphone, God had me focus on your family. I'm going to be obedient to God. That's why I stepped out in this round of God today. I want your family to come join you right here. We're going to pray for that Red Sox. Mr. Red Sox, come on. I've been having a heart for this young man, and he's such a quiet man and such a humble man. I take it that this is your whole family. One, she's not with us. But let me tell you, man, you are going to be the priesthood of your home. You're going to make things happen. But God's going to make things happen over you today. He wants your family to be built on a strong foundation that the enemy cannot prevail against his home. Your wife spoke some powerful words. You got to be the man to stand in the gap for her today. You got a beautiful family. A family that's going to dwell in Jesus Christ. As your children go to school, that they will be touching some kids that's unsaved. As you go to your job site, you're going to reach out and touch some lives that have been broken. As your wife and her job site also be touching lives all around her. I found out that God is the best of everything. God can lay down the mantle when he want to. All we got to do is pick it up and walk with it. Man, you bring your kids up in the adoration of Jesus Christ. Bring them up in the adoration of Jesus. That's what I did for my children. I brought them up in the adoration of Jesus Christ. They will never stray away. Sometime they'll come back. And God will set them on the straight and narrow. Excuse me, what's your name again? George. I know Jesus revealed that to me. George. Amen, George. George, I sat with you in the transforming class. My heart felt so good when I come in the midst of you. I felt a love and compassion in your heart. As I fell in mine also. Man, get ready, man. Woo! You're going to be a fire warrior, let me tell you. It ain't going to be no stopping you. You're going to come from that Miller session in that row back there. You're going to be sitting in the front pews and ready to praise God. Amen. I'm going to pray for this family. I want my brothers to come help me pray. Some of you men out there, reach your hand forward. All of you, reach your hands forward here. God's finna take over this service right now. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the hostess. I pray, God, a foundation in this home. I pray, God, that you build this foundation around you today, Lord. That Satan cannot come against it. Because he don't have no power whatsoever. But Jesus said, I'm the authority in your life. For each one of you. I want you to follow this journey with me. Sometime we get on a journey. And sometime we look off the road. We are missed the boat. But today you are going to be focused on Jesus Christ in your life, in your children's life. Thank you for being that father today. Thank you for being the mother today. As you build strength and power around your home. Jesus said, I'm focused on the head of the house. You got to carry it, my brother. You got to carry it. Whatever aspect it takes for during the week or whatever you got to do. Not just only on Sunday or church service. God wants you to put it all in and start coming to cell groups or whatever groups we have. But we can sharpen iron against iron and build that foundation with you also. Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus. He's here right now amongst you. He's standing in the midst of you right now. He's telling you, my brother, it's time to get ready. We got to put down all the other things, and you got to put on the armor of God. I mean, you got to wear this armor with pride. Thank you. Thank you for your precious children. Thank you for your beautiful son over here wearing the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform in Seahawk country. Amen. Shame of shame. Hallelujah. But God loves you, brother. Don't care what you wear. That's just the name of a team. But God loves your heart. He loves the heart of man. He loved you also, Red Sox. He loved the heart of man. I just want to thank you. And I want to say to you, brother, I love you. I love you with all my heart, man. If you ever need anything, a prayer or whatever you need, call me up on the phone. I guarantee you I won't be late. I'll be there for you. Amen. Thank you so much.
I just want to seal up everything that happened in prayer. There was a lot of openness that happens in families, right? We came and exposed our hearts, and I know that God is going to knit those things together and knit them closed and heal as we move forward. And so I just want to pray right now, Lord God, that for everyone who came and shared a need, for everyone who has a need and shared it with you, Lord God, that as we move forward, as a family, that you would continue to knit us together, that you would prompt us, Lord God, not only in spiritual ways, but in practical ways, Father God, to reach out to our family when we have needs, or to reach out to our family just to build those relationships up in you, Lord God, whether it's a text saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, or whether it's saying, let's go hang out, or let's go get coffee, or let's build ourselves up together in you, Jesus. I just pray that you would help us to move forward in doing those things, Lord God. And I thank you that you already have, our future in your hands, God. You already know, Lord God, the strengthening that's going to happen as we do those things, Lord God. And so I thank you, and I just pray that your grace and glory would fall on us, Lord God, as you move us into this new area, Lord. As you move me into this new area, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you are. In your name I pray. Amen.
I struggle a lot with fear over certain things in my work and school in the past, and just trying to find acceptance and things like that, and things that I did in the past. And the Lord's liberated me from, you know, in stages, or you just get this fresh revelation, resting in His presence, or resting in His love. But yet, sometimes you enter into your work day, or you enter into your other things, and it just comes on you. You don't mean for it to come on you. You just got a lot of busyness and things around you. People around you, so you start seeing those things instead of the heart of the Lord. So I'm just here to declare brokenness of the fear in the name of Jesus, that the perfect love of the Lord destroys and tramples every portion of fear. So Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you would come now and in every place, in every portion, every place, to bring your light, Lord, to these areas, and that every part would be covered in your love, Lord. Because you amazingly love us. You have not limited your love towards us. You're generous in your love towards us, even in our failures, Lord. You are generous and outpouring in your love to us. Even in the midst of our mistakes, you are there loving on us, squeezing us, holding us, and keeping us. And we just declare your love, Lord, freshness, Lord, and you just bring more, Lord, bring more. We thank you, Papa, in Jesus' name.
Amen, and amen, and amen. And I think the appropriate response would be just to give the Lord a big, fat hand clap. A big thank you, Lord. You know, you can hug yourself because the Lord lives in us, so you can hug yourself, or you can hug the person next to you. At any rate, we need to honor Him and glorify Him and recognize Him for what He's doing in our lives and in our hearts. Amen. All right. Thank you, worship team, people, brothers, sisters, awesome music people. Why are you looking at me? Why? What's going on? Yeah. Why? Yeah. Tell her yeah. Okay, couple announcements. Number one, Pastor Mike and Gaylene send their love and their hi to you. They are somewhere in sunny San Diego with their feet kicked up and possibly driving their convertible Mustang right now. Yeah, they got a convertible Mustang. Yeah, is that... Oh, he's gone. Is that right, Timmy? He disappeared. Yeah, they do. So we send your love, you know, to them. You know, I know where they hold us in their hearts and vice versa. And what happened today is a lot of stuff. That's what happened today. I'm not going to try to figure it all out or retain it all in my brain. It's all heart issue. It's all... Everything that was said and done today was out of the abundance of our hearts, and which is what I wanted to share on. Kids can stay up. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I'm only going to take a few minutes of your time, but the Lord might take an hour, so I can't do nothing about that. But So that was pretty cool yesterday. I'm still blown away. So on top of this amazing testimony here with the Kennedys and the prayer, and we somehow, the Lord somehow managed to put us in that whole thing, and we're driving down the road in Ellensburg, and Michelle says, we're driving down the main road. Michelle looks over and says, is that Ken? No, Ken doesn't drive the car. It's mostly Barb. And so I slow down a little bit, and they come up, and we look, and it's Barb and Ken driving in Ellensburg next to us. So they don't know it's us. And so we pull behind them, and we follow them down a little bit. And we're test driving a vehicle. And so they don't recognize the vehicle. And we follow them and follow them and follow them. And there, you could tell they're turning down these side roads and then turning and slowing down and stopping. And I'm like, yeah, he was lost. And so we pull up alongside of them. We're like, hey, what are you doing? You know, and they're like, whoa, they look like we were angels. And well, we were, because they had no idea where they were going. They didn't know how to get there. They didn't know how to get to the hospital to see Maya. And the gentleman that was worked with the car dealer, he's like, oh, well, tell them to follow us. And we just took them right there. So simple, but yet just so amazing to me every time. I just think about it, like, what are the chances with God all the time? I mean, everything that took place today in our hearts and everything, it's all within God's heart, and that's what we got to do. We just got to connect ourselves with him. We just have to acknowledge him, because everything flows, as the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart. So with that said, I want to watch this quick clip, which we've watched before, but just want to pop it on and let's enjoy it for a couple minutes. I don't think we have any popcorn.
We did an experiment here at HeartMath to study how the information flows between the heart and the brain. And we actually discovered something quite remarkable, something that surprised us. The participants in the study were connected to various sensors to measure their brain waves, their heartbeats, and so on. And then they were exposed to various images. Some were high arousal, like a car crash or a snake striking, while others were low arousal images, like bunny rabbits and nature scenes. The participants were asked to push a button. They then saw a blank computer screen for 6 seconds. The computer then randomly selected one of these photographs that it displayed for 3 seconds. After that, the screen went blank for 10 seconds. They were prompted to push the button again, and they repeated this protocol about 30 times. When we analyzed all the data, the results were astounding. The heart seemed to know the images before the participants ever saw the images with their eyes. If the future picture was going to be one of the emotionally arousing ones, the heart rate started to drop about 5 seconds before the image was randomly selected to be shown on the screen. So nobody could know what this future picture was going to be. The heart had a much greater deacceleration than if it was going to be a calm picture. These results have since been replicated in many different independent labs around the world, actually. Well, a lot of people say that I don't feel it in my heart, I feel it in my gut. But here's what's really happening. The information comes to the heart first. The heart then sends a different signal to the brain, which we can measure. Then you have a brain response, and then a body response. And with the body response, like the feeling in the gut or the hair on the back of the neck, is where it becomes conscious. But the real flow of information is heart, brain, body. And this is all happening many seconds before the actual event occurs. So what this body of research is telling us is that the heart seems to be connected to a type of intuition that is not bound by the limits of time and space. But what is that source of intuition? What is the heart connected to? And how can we learn to tap into more of that?
Lucky them. Lucky them, I have the answer to that. Huh? We all do. And I think that's pretty interesting. There's a lot said there, that 5 seconds before a randomly selected picture, your body, your heart's already preparing your body to respond in the appropriate manner. That's wild. So what he said and what that says is that our heart is somehow connected, somehow outside of the time and space restrictions. And what I'm going to propose today is that it is, in fact, the dwelling place of God, the throne of God, if you will. And let me read you a couple scriptures here. Speaking of hearts, here, I'll read this real quick, just a little lighten up the tense mode real quick. Check it out. Got this from my daughter. She put it on my desk one day in my office. It says, "I love you with all my butt. I would say heart, but my butt is bigger. Sorry, I hope I don't get like backlash on that one." That's all in good humor. Not meant to be bad or negative in any way. Just a little fun. You know me, I like to have a little fun. Yeah. I don't know what the sermon title is or even what the sermon is, so, but you can put that if you want. Probably get like a million hits on YouTube. So how often do we use the word heart? Have you ever really, like, until now, I've never really even considered, like, oh, she stole my heart, or what else here? Your heart isn't in it, or whatever your little heart desires, my heart goes out to you. All those things are things that we say that all the time, right? We talk that way all the time. And what we're saying is that the heart being the deepest part of us, right? It's that deep part where it's like natural and supernatural overlap. And yet we carry with us this supernatural. The scripture actually talks about out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And that word belly is actually heart. It's the center of who we are. It's saying out of us, you know, is heaven, and we need to release heaven. The scripture declares that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We sang it here, right? The scripture declares that. And then today with all of the testimonies and whatnot, everything that went on here says we've got to give it to the Lord. We've got to allow our heart not to bear these burdens, but let our Lord bear these burdens because he's so willing. Somebody said in one of the 55 people that spoke today said something about releasing it to him. One more fact, you know, me being up here, it's probably going to leave you, as it does me, with more questions than answers. That's okay. Good. Then we all have to go and search in our own manner and explore our relationship with them and the different questions that arise. Great. It provokes us, right, into greater works. It provokes us to know our Lord even more. So I don't stand up here as final authority or like I've got the answers or anything like that. That's not my goal up here. My goal is just to start a conversation that we can all hopefully pick up and explore in our own timing with our Lord, you know. You said something about, Mr. James, you said something about being busy and, you know, time flies by and you don't think of much, but when you get alone, right? When we get alone, we tend to have more time to think if we're not busy. And I challenge people to do that. I think that one thing that I've been guilty of is is not allowing the Lord to speak to me through situations and through his creation, and kind of boxing things up the way I see them initially, and then setting that package down, and that's that. And if something comes along that doesn't agree with that, I kind of shoo it away or push it out of the way, or I'm scared or whatever. But we got to allow our heart to be open, and not just to have everything figured out is my point. We got to be free with that. So Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary says this: the human heart, considered as the center or source of emotions, personality attributes, specifically in most thought and feeling, consciousness to know one's heart. An example is his head told him not to fall in love, but his heart had the final say. Right? A good example. So, but what I say is this, is scripture says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. It says, hidden, I hide your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Exactly. Good job. Create in me a clean heart. Over and over. You'll find, if you search the word heart in the scriptures, you'll find it over and over and over and over. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So over and over and over, I'm seeing the importance of my heart, and what is it, and what does it mean? And science now is actually starting to catch up with God. Science is starting to actually take and put, through unique testing and evidence, actually go, like, where I can look at now some of these scriptures and go, well, that's what we just watched right here. So I've had like a lot more that I planned on saying, but with time and whatnot, I think that my encouragement today, a lot happened today, and I love it. We are family. This is a family business. I mean, meaning our business is each other, you know? Family up front, party in the back, you know what I'm saying? And I just coined that, so somebody's going to listen to that and take it. I know it. Yeah, church mullet. Yeah, so family up front, party in the back. But we're family, and it's awesome that we can express ourselves as family and look at the uniqueness of each one of us, that if we allow it, or if the enemy was allowed to have a foothold, the uniqueness of us could actually separate us out of fear. Well, out of fear really is really it. And it's out of a fear, and then how we react out of that. Or our uniqueness in Christ can actually complement each other, and those quirky things and the things that are different about each other, we can have fun with them. And while we're having fun, there's difficult times. We all know that. We heard a lot about it today, and you've all lived life just like I have. There's difficult times. But we can allow who we are in Christ through the way we hold our heart, the way we position our heart. We can allow him to grow us together, allow our hearts to be open, not to see through the hurts of the past, but take the hurts of the past, because we do it. We've all done it. We all do it at times. And we got to learn that the hurts of the past don't define us, and that if we truly would surrender those things, those burdens to Jesus, and what does that mean and look like? You know, that's a good question. Let me know if you have the answer. I mean, it's different for everybody. I'm not going to stand up here and go, okay, this, we got to do this and this and this, which, I mean, there are things that we can do for sure that are proven. But in our hearts, if we live through the past and live through different hurts, scars, et cetera, then it taints our view for today. It blurs our view today. We see through a broken glass. You know, and so our decisions, the way we react to circumstances, to people, to situations, is changed a lot by hurts, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm challenging us today to begin to explore what is the position of our heart? Today, that's the question. What is the position of your heart? Maybe even the title, if he was listening. What is the position of your heart? And I tell you what, that question right there can take you plenty of time to navigate with God. Right, just that right there can really, you can really get deep into, okay, Lord, here I am. What is the position of my heart? How do I see people? How do I see things? What have I allowed to cloud my judgment, to cloud the way I respond and react to people, or the way I respond and react to you? Because heaven is within us, okay? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it is within us. It is within us, and that river of living water needs to flow out. And the best thing the enemy can do, or we allow him to do, to say it more accurately, is to shut ourselves down and box ourselves in and, oh, I'm so different. I this and this, and they don't understand, or I'm too big, you know, all these things. And we just have to let our heart be open and take a risk on God and say, Lord, what is the position of my heart? And Lord, I want you to have my heart. I give you my heart. And you know, that may not be the easiest task. That's okay. He knows. He already knows. He knows who we are. He created us. He made us the way we are. And so we need to acknowledge him through our lives. Thank you for everybody today that took the boldness to step out in faith. This was a family gathering, and I know that God is pleased with that. And you, by doing that, you honor him, and you're opening a door for his light to prevail in the darkness. The darkness you had in that particular situation is now it's pushed back, and now you've declared who you are, and you've declared that you're going to take a step forward because of who he is. And easy or hard, it doesn't matter, you're going to move forward. So good job to everybody today who did that. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do that. And we surrender our hearts to you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? So if you've been moved today and you've been touched, then let's do something about it, because having great ideas is not what this whole thing's about, okay? Let's position our hearts in that manner, in that fashion, to move forward. Love you all. Have an awesome day, weekend. Go Hawks. The end. I've had to go.